Well, good morning to Searching the Scriptures. I'm Danny McKibben. I'm one of the fellows that preaches at the Pine Top Church of Christ, and we're delighted that you've tuned in with us. And as the title of the program, Searching the Scriptures, that's what we want to do, is search the Scriptures. We want you to follow along. We want you to open your Bibles. We want you to open your hearts, your minds, and listen to the Word of the Lord and see what great things that we can learn as we open the Scriptures. We want to look at what we'll entitle The Great Announcement, found here in Luke chapter 1, when the angel Gabriel came to Mary, who would be the mother of Jesus, and just a fantastic announcement of the foretelling of the coming of the birth of the Christ child, and just a fantastic story, just lots of great things there, just a wonderful announcement, and just fantastic, because it's what brought about our salvation. Jesus, born of the Virgin Mary, lived among men, grew up, and became the perfect sacrifice to die on the cross of Calvary to pay for my sins, to pay for your sins, that we might be forgiven, that we might be washed and clean. So it's just a fantastic announcement, and that's what we want to look at here in Luke chapter 1. In verse 26 it says, "In the sixth month the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth." And that is Elizabeth. She was 6 months along with John the Baptist. They were actually would have been cousins. But anyway, the angel Gabriel now comes to Mary, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Now this is interesting. She was a virgin, that is, she had not had relationships. They were engaged to be married, kind of a betrothal period. And that's quite interesting, because there was a prophecy about this in the book of Isaiah chapter 7. In Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." That is, God with us. And so here we have that it would be a virgin. Now, that's not the way people conceive, is not to have a relationship, but that's what's going to happen here, because it's going to be by a miracle, not a man and woman coming together and conceiving a child. But before they came together, she would be with child, and that would, of course, be a very special birth, and that Jesus would be born of the Virgin Mary. An angel came in unto her and said, "Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." Yeah, here we see this one who is greatly favored. And what a special blessing to be chosen, to be selected, to bear the baby Jesus. I mean, that's just, everything about it is just fantastic. It's just a tremendous story. You know, you get on social media, and when people announce they're going to have a baby, there are so many people that like that, and congratulations, and rightly so. It is. It's a happy time. But Mary, I mean, how unique. The only person that this would ever happen to, that a virgin would conceive a child by the power of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, very unique in history. And just as birth announcements are special times, this was an extra, extra special time that Mary was the one chosen to bear and to bring forth the man child. And it says there in verse 29, "And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be." I mean, this, you know, why am I being chosen out? Why am I highly favored? Why am I the favored one? And why am I so blessed among women? I mean, certainly she had reasons to feel blessed, to have known God, and etc. Apparently good health, youth, whatever. She was engaged to be married, and such things as that. So But why? And so she's kind of studying exactly why all this great salutation to her, these greetings. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, you shall conceive in thy womb, bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." And so, wow, I'm going to be pregnant with a child? And this is just tremendous news. What a tremendous announcement. And she has found favor with God. Well, that would certainly, that's great news that you're in a good relationship. And she was a godly person. And here this angel's announcing it and talking about it. You found favor with God. This is a special privilege. And you're going to conceive in your womb, and you're going to have the son. You know, lots of times people say, "Oh, you know, yeah, we've tested, and you know, we did the little test, and yeah, we're pregnant. Is it going to be a boy or girl?" Well, we don't know. We're going to have to wait, and you know, they'll do an ultrasound after so many weeks, and if they can spot the gender, yeah, then they'll have a gender revealment party, and you know. But here, it's not even announced you're going to have a baby. It's going to be a baby boy. And also announce what you're going to name the baby boy. You're going to name him Jesus. In verse 32, Angel Gabriel talks about this son, Jesus, that would be born. He shall be great. In fact, he's the greatest that has ever lived. Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus, the Son of Mary. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. Yeah, he's the Son of God. Yeah, he would be born of the Virgin Mary, and that's all unique and special and great, but he would be called the Son of the Highest because he is the Son of God. I mean, God would become incarnate, that is, in a tabernacle of flesh. That is something that, wow, I don't know that I can explain how that takes place. I know the fact of it, that Jesus is God, Jesus is man. Jesus was God that came into a tabernacle of flesh, and you know how to explain all that. I don't know exactly. Paul called it a mystery that God was manifest in the flesh. That is a mystery. Is that we don't have the capacity to explain it. Now, if it's revealed to us, maybe once it's explained to us, maybe we could understand. I'm not sure even if God tried to explain to us if we could understand it. I mean, there's just some things we understand the concept. It's like eternal life, but how do you describe eternity? I mean, it's just mind-boggling forever and ever and ever and ever and ever, because everything that we relate to on planet Earth, it's like temporary. You know, it comes and goes, it changes, etc. But we think about God. And we think about the things of God, and it's like, well, no, it's not like that when we talk about eternity. So, I mean, there's just some things that it's just hard to understand conceptually. Yeah, he's the Son of the Highest. He's the Son of God. He's the Son of Man. In fact, that was the favorite phrase that Jesus would use of himself, being the Son of Man. And so he would be born of the Virgin Mary, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Yeah, he's going to set up on the throne of his great-great-great-great-great-grandfather David. And not that he's going to rule in physical Jerusalem, but he's going to rule from heaven, the spiritual Jerusalem. And it says in verse 33, "And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." He's been ruling now almost 2,000 years upon the throne of David in heaven. He was the rightful descendant of David. You look at the genealogies. Matthew's account looks at the genealogy more from the legal side, that is, from Joseph, the supposed father. Though he wasn't the biological father, he was the father in practicality, and legally was counted as the father. So from the legal side, he was the son of David. And from the biological side, Mary also was in the genealogy of David. And so both legally and by blood descent, he is, of course, rightful heir to the throne of David. And he reigns over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end. He'd been reigning. And that is throughout the appointed age. Jesus will be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we need to look to his lordship. You know, here we've just gone through, you know, this election process, and of course it's still being haggled or whatever. And but, you know, every 4 years we're like, we have an election to choose the leader, the president. Other countries do the same thing. And, you know, I mean, of course it's not really like in England. They have the Queen, and she's always designated who the royal crown will be passed to. But, you know, they have changes. But King Jesus has been ruling now for these 2,000 years. I mean, it's not like, well, now in 2022, you know, we're going to have a different king in the church. No, Jesus has been the same king, the same ruler, the same Lord. And he's the same Lord of Paul and Peter and Apollos and Aquila. He's our king also. Same king. We serve the same Lord and Master. I mean, that's just fantastic. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? That is, I haven't had intimate relationship, a sexual relationship with any man. Which, that's why she was a virgin. She had been involved sexually. She was espoused to Joseph, but they weren't into this pre-matrimonial sexual relationship. They maintaining their purity, as the Bible would commend to us. The marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled. So she's scratching her head. Well, exactly how can this be? I've not been, you know, with some man to become impregnated. And the angel said unto her, the Holy Spirit shall come upon you, and the power of the High shall overshadow you. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born unto thee shall be called the Son of God. And so it would be the power of the Holy Spirit that this would take place, that the Holy Spirit would conceive in her womb. And so I said, well, how that happened? I don't know how exactly to explain that. It's just that's what took place, because that's what's said. Like I said, there's just some things I don't know exactly how to explain the details and the mechanics of how it happened. It just, that's what is stated. That's what I believe. I believe that to be the absolute truth, that it was by the power of the Holy Spirit that she conceived this baby in her womb. And so we'll just take it what God said. And behold, your cousin Elizabeth, she also hath conceived a son in her own age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. She was an older relative, and she hadn't had any baby, but by God promising that Elizabeth and Zacharias would have a baby, it would be John the Baptist, and he would be the forerunner. He would be the one that would pave the way for the coming of Jesus. In verse 37, for with God nothing shall be impossible. That's just amazing. That you know, things that we would think, oh, that's impossible. How could that be? Well, God can do those things. I mean, for us, we can't do it. But God, he has that capacity. And to me, that's just tremendous. And just a tremendous event that takes place here. That this great announcement, this tremendous announcement, a birth announcement that is going to take place some 9 months later. I mean, this is just fantastic. I mean, we like I said, we learn the news, we hear the news. Ah, so, did you hear so-and-so? Well, they're expecting a baby. And oh, man, that is great. I mean, that's just wonderful. And we're all happy and excited about that. Well, this is the greatest birth announcement that ever was. It was a great announcement for Elizabeth to be pregnant. But it's even a greater announcement that Mary was going to have a child. And it would be Jesus who would be the Savior of the world, who would establish his kingdom. And we can be a part of his kingdom because of the great sacrifice that he made at Calvary. Well, if you have any questions, any way we can help, let us know. We'll be glad to study with you and help you. Until the next time, we bid you farewell.